It is time for another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein of the Republican American. Ruth, what's going on out there?
Okay, what's happening here? Well, we got through another graduation at Housatonic Valley Regional High School on Friday evening. Unfortunately, because of the threat of rain, it was put inside. It's always so nice to be able to do it outside. But
I saw the tents out there, too.
The tents were there, but there was such...
You mean more weather?
More weather scare, as you might
terror?
Put it,
right.
About thunder and lightning, and so they had to make a decision. And however, it wasn't as bad as usual because the class was so small. 57 young men and women graduated, and that's lower than anybody can remember. If you talk to people, they all said, my class was 125, my class was 200, mine was 100. 57 is really low. So the giving of diplomas went rather quickly.
So no one sweltered. No one sweltered.
It was warm. It was warm. It was still, but it was a lovely ceremony, as it always is. The speeches were relevant, and it was Lisa Carter's last graduation. As you know, the superintendent, she is retiring, and so the new superintendent was in the audience. She was introduced. The valedictorian and salutatorian gave lovely speeches. A woman named Carolyn Corrado was the guest speaker and an educator who gave them some good messages. And the community award went to Nancy Heggie Martin, who heads up the 21st Century Fund and was honored for all that group does. That group raises money outside the school budget for projects for kids, and they've been. It was an idea that dear Jack Mahoney, the principal, learned about when he was on a sabbatical. He brought it back to Housatonic, and that fund has flourished, giving kids opportunities that couldn't be had outside, as I said, the school budget. So,
where was he on sabbatical? Do you know?
He went across country.
Because I remember way back in the day when people would turn up at our school, different school, and they were on sabbatical, and I never could figure out quite what sabbatical was.
Yeah,
well, and
it's a time off to go and learn things and bring it back to your school.
Right, and I think that it has gradually. Let's call it devolves into something different. Graduated into, at least from an understanding of a civilian, quote unquote. It's time off. They're not here this year. They're going out to learn other things to bring back to.
It's an enrichment time.
Yeah. And he did. And as I say, he came back with lots of ideas, and this was one of them.
Turned out to be a major community component.
So it was a nice evening, and this was the 85th graduation. School was founded in 1939. So, excuse me. Sunday, I went to the Salisbury School. No, Saturday, I went to the Salisbury School Boathouse, where a group of mostly women, called We Can Row, gathered for their 20th anniversary. We Can Row is made up of all cancer survivors who go out on a boat every week from May to October and row. They're in all stages of recovery, and it's been obviously it helps them physically as well as mentally. They've developed camaraderie that is incredible. Noreen Driscoll, back over 20 years ago, she spoke on Saturday, and she talked about losing several friends at one time and said, I have to do something. I just got to do something to help the community. And so she started doing fundraisers, and then she got a $5,000 grant, and that was used to spearhead this Week in Row program. And as I say, this was their 20th anniversary on the shores of Twin Lakes. They had a lovely gathering, and it was very inspiring, I will say. And now there are two men have joined up, and so it's open to whomever. And
so you just have to be a cancer survivor.
You have to be a cancer survivor. Yes.
Nice.
And they certainly gave deep appreciation to Salisbury School, who gave them Coach Dick Curtis for all these years, gave them a boat to use, the facilities, and in the winter they go to the ERG room where they have rowing machines and can keep up their strength all winter long. It's really a woman is there who was just diagnosed, and she they of course rally around everyone, and it's very inspiring. And I would recommend anybody who's in that position, if they feel a need for some sharing or just getting together, to seek out this group.
And is there a way to seek it out? Is it easy enough to do?
Yeah, you can go online. Okay. And there's it talks
online.
About it. Yeah.
I don't know. You probably covered this, but was there a meeting about? Was there whatever happened in Canaan with? Was there a continuation in North Canaan about
the Riverwoods?
Is that what? Yeah.
Yes. They had another hearing of. The engineer made a couple of responses to Housatonic River Commission and to the Housatonic Valley Association, who have concerns about this project. This is the 20-lot project that's going along the river off Honey Hill Road in Canaan. And so he answered back some of their questions, and that was continued until July 8th. That will be discussed once again. So.
Okay.
And speaking of land use, there was quite a meeting in Salisbury about the rail trail and the Pope property. You know, there was that whole issue, and there's still some
grunching.
Fallout. Still fallout.
Well, that's
from
a good
that.
Word. That might even be in the dictionary. Do people understand that no one is paving the rail trail?
Well, I don't know if the people who have the signs along the road.
So just for those in the back, no one is paving the rail trail.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. The signs are still there, save the rail trail, and I think this is not going to go away.
I understand.
Yeah.
I look at signs because I'm often driving between Falls Village and Sharon, so mm-hmm. I always see. And when that sprouted, it was like, wait, what? It's just how easy it is for information to get distorted. That's the only thing I'm really banging on about. It's really important that people check their compass, their common sense compass. It's like, wait a sec. Pretty much before doing anything. And that is my public service announcement in the middle of your show, Ruth.
Thank you.
Carry on.
Yes, there is, as we know, things just get blown up sometimes unnecessarily. The other discussion in Salisbury is about Grove Street, and that hearing was held last night, the continuation of that hearing. I have not checked it out yet, but that was where they were going to discuss the trees. They were going to have the tree warden come in and determine whether the trees will have to come down for this two-lot subdivision of affordable housing. So we'll follow that up and let you know. Cornwall's zoning had a meeting in which everyone is really focused on affordable housing these days. And so they went for a text amendment meeting to change the regulations to allow duplexes and triplexes to encourage smaller houses, more density on a piece of property. You can have, you know, two apartments rather than just one house. And so they had a hearing. They posted it, and there was not one opposition. There were every comment made was in favor of doing this. Everybody spoke about the need for affordable housing. Gordon Ridgway talked to the first selectman, talked about house prices. You know, the median house price has gone over the years from $300,000 to now $800,000 in Cornwall, and the dire need that to bring affordable housing to the town. And so that after the hearing, they with no opposition, they voted to approve it. So
and this applies to what particular zone?
I believe it's probably all the zones. They didn't specify.
I'm surprised that you wouldn't have a lot of opposition for all zones to be allowed.
Yeah, I mean, they never talked about zones, Michael, so I'm assuming it was. But as they said, there's not much land available in Cornwall with its wetlands and its slopes to really put in huge developments anywhere. So that's how they see it. We'll see if anything comes of this. One thing that did come out, which was very interesting, Stacey Marson, who owns the Cornwall Inn, said, just make sure that people aren't going to be building these and using them as, you know, short-term. I mean, the Airbnbs are everywhere.
That's why I'd be surprised that it's not focused on. Usually it'll be focused on commercial centers or villages. Of course, in Cornwall, that's a hard call.
Exactly.
I'm not quite sure where that is.
Right.
And they don't have public sewage or water systems anywhere in Cornwall. So
not yet, anyway.
You know, I'm just kind of surprised if it would be across all zones, you know, residential, 2-acre or 5-acre or whatever they have.
Well, because
to apply density.
Not discussed, so I can only assume it would be allowed.
Yeah, no, I'm just
everywhere. They are concerned, and there is concern. You know, a lot of these places are being used for short-term Airbnbs, and takes away from housing that could be used for affordable living.
That's not affordable housing. That's just more income in the pockets of people who.
And that's exactly what she said.
And that's why I'm surprised it would be across the board. Yeah. So
we'll have to look into that a little deeper. Yeah. No. Can I just ask who does this go to next?
That's it. It's in. It's 15.
It would be the court, the Superior Court, if anybody challenges it.
But it goes into effect July 1.
And there's no clarity about zones?
I did not hear anything mentioned about where it would happen.
Okay.
So I may be amiss on that.
No. We'll
check it out. We'll help out here.
Okay.
Check that out.
Okay.
That's
an
important detail there.
That's just one of those, hey.
Yeah. So, okay, and then there was a discussion in Falls Village on the old firehouse. You know, that has been up for sale, and somebody's interested in buying it, and it's been stalled. The sale has been stalled. The man is still interested in putting in a health center there, but there have been all kinds of issues, and now it's going to the lawyers involved want a map from Torrington Area Health about the septic, and so Dave Barger, first selectman, the other night, said it is definitely moving forward. I know it seems people are questioning what's happening, but it is moving forward, and he's certain that it will happen. As you know, the fire department moved to its new location on Route 7 a long time ago now.
Right, and wasn't there some issue with the don't quote me on any of this, but wasn't there some question about some land around the inn or some setback?
I think they have resolved that. There was a little encroachment on the inn's land.
Numerous complications on that one.
Yeah, they've just run into all kinds of issues, and it's been percolating, and nothing has happened.
I suspect this is just only my opinion, knowing nothing, that the intention was one thing, and then the issues were a bit of a facer going along the way. It's like, wait a second. I mean, I think the intention has been to do one thing, and then I think that
they definitely want to sell it.
My new favorite word for the show. gotten complicated.
Okay. They definitely want to
become
move it on.
Complicated.
What?
Not gotten, become complicated.
Mm. Yeah.
Let's practice good language here.
Okay, whatever you say.
Oh, now we're grammarians, yes.
That's right.
Oh, sometimes Mike really is a grammarian.
He is. He's a smart guy.
No, I didn't say smart. We know he's a smart guy.
Oh, I feel
and
like
a grammarian.
I've been damaged now.
Mm.
All right. Jeez.
And Cornwall is trying to buy a fire truck. The town in Cornwall, the fire department is sort of run by the town. The town owns the, I don't say owns, but it pays for a lot of the things in the fire department, including trucks. They're looking at a new truck. They hoped they had $640,000 to pay for it, and the bid came in at $760,000. These trucks are incredible. So at the meeting last week, the selectman said that they'll have to look at other options, and maybe the fire department could kick in the difference, or they may have to change some of the specs. And the president of the fire department said that's awfully hard when you've designed a truck to respec it. And so that's another ongoing issue in Cornwall. Okay, so now looking ahead, there will be the selectmen and Sharon have agreed to go to a hearing to allow to ask for money for Cardinal Engineering to and do specs for the sidewalk. They got a grant for this sidewalk thing, but the grant does not allow for engineering costs. So the cost will be $66,000 for engineering, and so that has to go. That will go to a hearing in the not far future. The 30th District Legislative Republicans are meeting here in Kent on
Thursday
at 7:30 at the Fife and Drum. They're going to have all the many, many representatives and state senators and even some hopeful candidates at that meeting, and all Republicans are invited to attend.
It's 7:30 a.m., yes?
7:30 a.m., yes. Hmm. Then this weekend is a busy weekend. The firemen in Falls Village, you know, have been celebrating their anniversary, their 100th year, with all kinds of events. It culminates pretty much on Saturday at a gala, and that's going to be held at the high school using that tent that's sitting there at 6 p.m., and it should be a lot of fun, and go out and support the fire department. Also that night, Chore Service is having its garden party, and that's going to be in Sharon on Mudge Pond Road. Again, Chore Service is an excellent organization that allows people to stay independent in their homes and provides salaries for people who go in and, you know, do chores and shopping and some cleaning and so forth. So that party is at 6 o'clock as well. It's 5 o'clock, I think, on Mudge Pond Road. And again, if you want to go, you can look it up and find out where exactly it is. And on Sunday, the 21st Century Club, which we've already discussed, is having its ice cream social, again, under the tent. That tent is at least getting some use on the high school lawn. From 3 to 5, people are going to be invited to come, have some ice cream, and talk to kids who have benefited from the program. And they're going to be there to talk about what they did with the money they received from those scholarships from that 21st Century. So busy, busy weekend, and hopefully, Michael, it's not too hot, because somebody here doesn't think it will be.
Yeah, no, I didn't say too hot. I said some people like the heat. And what I
think
I will
you called
it.
What's that song? Some like it hot. Let's see. Can we
some
sing
like
that?
Some like it cold, right?
I think the
other bit is that by Saturday it's supposed to have abated a little bit.
Okay. Well.
So there you go.
Well, here you go, folks. We're almost 20 minutes in.
All right.
Excellent. Okay.
Gotta love it.
So I should say basically well done, Ruth, as usual. And we will talk to you on the next edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein of the Republican American on Robinhood Radio.